minister to our hearts and our lives. We do pray for these special requests we have for Jewel. We pray that you'd give the doctors wisdom as they examine her there at Johnson City, and for Rosie, who's also there, for Jim Ward now in the VA, Lord, with a possible stroke. Lord, think of Christine. We're so delighted to have her here today, and she's looking for a job, and I pray that, Lord, you would just provide that for her, guide and direct her steps. For Karen, as she is struggling and has some respiratory problems, we pray that you would touch her and raise her up. For Rick, as he's undergoing more tests about some difficulties there with this ring in his ears, the lung situations, God, just continue to minister in Rick's life. And for Debbie's mom, we pray that you would work in her life as she's doing very poorly, and pray for the Woodards as they travel, that you'd give them safety. For Betty Bird, as they've had to take her back to the hospital, and Lord, she's really struggled since this knee replacement, and I pray that you give the doctors wisdom to know how to help her. For Billy Hilton, Lord, this man there in Johnson City with great physical needs, Lord, just minister to these folks, we pray. And now, Lord, may there just be a holy hush as we open your word, as we examine what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. By the way, I don't know if I mentioned, if you brought a visitor, write their name in the back of your yellow card. I think I said that, I may not have. As some of you know, a couple of weeks ago, my wife and I traveled to Colorado to see my in-laws, and had a wonderful time. One day, we took a day trip to a ski resort called Breckenridge. And if you go to Breckenridge, you go downtown, there's all these shops and everything, and a wonderful place for ladies because they love to shop, and for men to show their wives that they love them by shopping with them. And the last store we went in was this shop that sold leather coats, real expensive leather coats, and furs. So we all kind of went in there, we're just kind of wandering around, and I walk around the corner, and here is my wife wearing a mink fur coat. Now, the price tag was only $9,000. Good news. Good news. It was on sale. It was 40% off. So by the time you had taxes, you know you're probably around $6,000. Now, you know I love my wife. So I took out my billfold, and I have got this neat thing. It's called a credit card, Frontier MasterCard. And I thought, you know, we get air miles every buy. So I thought, you know, I could get a ton of air miles if I would buy my wife that coat. So I bought her that fur coat. You may not have seen her wearing it yet this morning. And then I got home and I thought, what have I done? $6,000. I looked at the back of my credit card. There's a phone number. Customer service. So I gave them a call. And I said, I just want to tell you, I really made a mistake. And there is no way I can pay this off. Now, I said, I didn't mean to. It was just spur of the moment. I didn't plan to do it. It just kind of happened. You know, my wife looked at me, you know, and it gave me that look. And would you forgive me of that debt? Now, I'll just be real honest with you. They were not very friendly. In fact, they were not very loving. I mean, if they really loved me, they would have said, oh, don't worry about it. They were very legalistic, very narrow-minded about this thing. Now, part of that story is true. Okay? What actually occurred was, as soon as the woman saw her, the sales lady saw my wife with that coat on, she ran to her. And I ran the other direction. But the point of the story is this. If I had done that, I would have a debt to pay. And no matter how much I said, oh, I don't want to pay my debt, it was a mistake, I didn't mean to, I still was going to have to pay that debt. Now today, every one of us has a debt to pay. We all have a debt to pay. And it is a debt for sin. And I want to talk to you this morning about our sin debt. And I want to tell you what it is, first of all, and then tell you how most people are trying to pay that sin debt, and then tell you how it can really be paid. Okay? So this morning, first of all, the debt we must pay, the fact of our debt. You say, wait a minute, Gary. I don't have any debt. My house is paid for. My car is paid for. I don't have any credit cards. Number one, I'd like to meet you. That'd be great. No. But I'm not talking about a physical debt. I'm talking about a spiritual debt. Now, the Word of God, folks, is very clear that that we as people have sinned. And you say, what in the world is sin? Well, 1 John 3:4 says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth or breaketh the law. For sin is the transgression or the breaking of the law. Now let's stop for a moment and think. Now, there are many laws that God has given to us in His Word, but we usually think of the Ten Commandments. Now, help me here a little bit. I'm not going to talk about the first four. I want to talk about the last five. What are those last five commandments? Or just they're not in order, or maybe in your own words. What are they? Don't covet. Don't kill. Don't steal. Don't what? Honor your father and mother. No adultery. Don't lie. So, John is saying, look, folks, sin is when we break God's law. Now, I'm not going to ask you this morning how many of you have never lied, because I'd hate to make you sin when you raise your hand. Because we all have. We have all broken God's law. In 1 John 5:17, it says sin is simply doing wrong. All unrighteousness, or when we don't do right, it is sin. Now, Romans 3:23 says what? For most of you have sinned, right? The Word of God says, for all have sinned and come short of God's glory or God's standard. God is perfect. And folks, as we sit here today, I can say without reservation that every person, starting with Larry Gallion right here, including myself, we have all broken God's law, every single one of us. There's no doubt about that, folks. Now, you say, so what? Now, here's the thing. I don't think there's a person here this morning who would say, Gary, wait a minute, not me. Okay? But here's the thing that I think people struggle with. And that is, secondly, we have a debt. There is a debt for sin. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. All right, there's the debt. Sin must be paid for. And the Word of God says that the payment for sin is death. Now, that word death really means separation. And the simple matter of fact is, because we are sinners, we are, someday the body and the soul are going to be separated. Okay? Someday, for a lot of folks, the soul is going to be separated from God for all eternity. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Let me give you Revelation 20. It says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and earth and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. What will condemn us? Our works. By the way, your works won't save you because you've broken God's law, but they will condemn us. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, the simple matter of fact is, folks, because we are sinners, we will die. Now, why do we have this debt? Why are we like we are? Well, let me go back all the way to creation. When Adam was created, Adam had never sinned. Eve was created. She had never sinned, and there was no sin. There was no sin debt. There was no death. Can you imagine that? If Adam and Eve had not sinned, they would have lived forever. But as you know, one day, Eve was tempted, and she sinned, and she broke God's law, and immediately death occurred. You say, wait a minute. I know that story. Adam didn't die right then. Remember what death is? Separation. And the moment they sinned, God said, oh, you can't walk in the garden anymore. Now think about this, folks. Every day, Adam and Eve had the ability to walk with God and fellowship with God one-to-one. Wow, wouldn't that be something? But the moment they sinned, they were separated from God. See, the wages of sin is death. And not only were they separated physically, but there came a day, if you look in Genesis chapter 5, Adam lived, now think about this, Adam lived 930 years. Can you imagine? But you get to chapter 5, and what happened to Adam? Adam died. And we have all inherited Adam's sin nature, and we are sinners, and we too will die. Notice what Romans 5:12 says. Wherefore, as by one man, it's Adam, sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Did you realize when you were born dead? You say, whoa, wait a minute. No, I'm talking about spiritually. Spiritually, we were born with a sinful nature, and we are dead spiritually, no fellowship with God. Now, what's the effect? Well, we've already talked about it some. Earthly death. The effect of our debt, folks, is Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed man once to die, and after this, it's interesting. Brother Stover's father-in-law passed away, and we had his funeral yesterday. He was 89 years old, a preacher of the gospel, lived a great life. But they played a excerpt from a sermon he preached just back in April. Here, guy's 89, he's still preaching. And guess what he talked about in that excerpt? Death. Yesterday, we laid him to rest at the cemetery. Why did he die? Because that's the debt of sin, folks. It's appointed a man once to die. This is the wage. But not just physical death, folks. If it was just physical death and that was it, hey, that's not bad. You know, we're annihilated, we're gone. Hey, it goes much further than that because there's also eternal death, eternal separation from God. Did you realize, folks? Now, many of you today are believers. You've been born again. But I want you to just remember for a moment what it was like before you got saved. Did you realize that if you had died in that condition, you would have been separated from God for all eternity in a place called hell? Wow. What a sobering message. The Word of God says in Matthew 25:41, "Then shall I say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Whew. That's what I deserve. Because I have a sin debt, folks. You say, well, wait a minute. I thought you said God was love. God is just. He is righteous. He must do right. Sin must be punished. Sin must be punished. It's his law. That if I had bought that fur coat and hallelujah, by the way, I wasn't even tempted, okay? If I had bought that, I had a debt to pay, and that company was going to demand that debt paid. Now that company's not made up of righteous people. They're sinful people, too. God is righteous. And, folks, when he demands a debt to be paid, it must be paid. Now, secondly, the payment of the debt. How are you going to pay it? Okay? Do you agree that every one of us owes a debt for our sin? Yes. All right, what are we going to do about it? All right, let me give you two things. Number one, and two words that sum up what everybody is doing about their sin. The first one is doing. The majority of people in this world who have a sin debt feel like they can do something to pay that debt. They know, and probably everybody here would agree with me, that God is angry with them. We've broken God's law. They know that. But these people have a list of things they've got to do to please God and gain entrance into heaven. It could be a multi... Oh, let me help you. Help me. What are some things today that people are trying to do to pay their sin debt and so they can go to heaven? Good works is numero uno. You didn't know I was bilingual, did you? Baptism. You got to get baptized. Good. What else? Join a church. Give money. By the way, if you believe that, if you believe you got to give money to go to heaven, give it to me, okay? I'll be glad to help you out, all right? Let me give you some other things. You have to live it. Get confirmed. Shave your head. There's a whole bunch of those. You go to the airport, you don't see those guys much anymore, do you? Give out literature. Join a church. Do all these things. You have to eat certain things, drink certain things. Even in some places, very painful forms of penance to pay for your sin. It's interesting. I was visiting Thursday night, my wife and I, and we visited a lady whom Mrs. Searcy wanted us to visit. And we knocked on her door, and she was not really excited to see us. And she said, I go to this church down here, and I've been going there for 30 years. I said, really? I said, I didn't realize that. I'm sorry. I kind of had the idea that from what she said, you didn't go to church. She said, I said, well, let me ask you a question. If you die today, do you know you'd go to heaven? She said, nobody can know that. And she wasn't real Again, she wasn't real happy to see us. I said, well, I just want you to know the Word of God says that you can know that you have eternal life. But you know what the problem was? She was depending on her works to get her to heaven. It was interesting. After that, I visited a couple from our church. They were sitting there reading their Bible when we came in. And he said, you know what? He said, I believe that way myself until I started reading God's Word. And he said, I don't understand it. It's so clear. It's right here in the Bible. That doing won't take away sin. Now, there you are surrounded by people, and you may be here this morning, and you're thinking that if I can do something, if I can live a certain way, if I can join a certain church, if I can be really good from now on, then I'll be okay. Now, let me just tell you what God's Word says, okay? Romans 3:20 says, therefore by the deeds of the law or the works of the law or by doing good things, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. What does the law do? Did God give the law so we could obey it and go to heaven? No. God gave the law to show us that we were bad and we needed to be saved. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified or made right by the works of the law. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. Works are not going to get you to heaven, my friend. By the way, how do you tell someone that's like this? Well, when you ask them if they died, that they're going to heaven, they're going to say, well, I did this, I'm doing this, I'm trying to do this. And they'll have a list of things they're doing. Folks, your doing things will never gain you entrance into heaven. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses, our good works, are like dirty rags. Now, what's a dirty rag good for? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Look, folks, God makes it very clear that your doing will never gain you entrance into heaven. Now, I want to go back to my credit card, my story. What if I told that lady, now look, I blew it and I know that and I'm sorry, but what I'm going to do is, I'm just not going to do it anymore, okay? I'm not going to use my credit card anymore. I'm going to take it home and I'm going to cut it up. So you'll forgive me now, right? There's still a debt to be paid, isn't there? But isn't that what most people are doing? You know, oh, well, yeah, I sinned in the past. I did these things wrong. But you know what? I'm going to be good from now on, and I'll be okay. Wait a minute. There's still a sin debt that has to be paid. And folks, when we think that we can do something to get to heaven, all that brings is despair because you can never be good enough. How do you know if you've done enough? You can't. And life is working and working and working. Now, I want to give you a verse that I never had really seen it in this context. I've heard it preached on. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. I'm going to have you use your Bible here in just a minute. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. All right, so there are people who say, okay, Lord, you're my Lord. Let me into heaven. Now, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name we've cast out devils. In thy name we've done many wonderful things. Did you see that word? Done, done, done. Lord, we did this, we did this, we did this. And what does the Lord say? I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Now, that's the bad part of the lesson, okay? So the word doing, doing. That's how a lot of people face the debt. They're doing something to take care of the debt. Let me give you the other word. Here it is. You ready? Done. Done. This is great. Now, when I called that credit card company in my story, they said, look, buddy, you will pay for your credit card, or you better find somebody else that will. Better check my cell phone. I guess it's turned off, too. There we go. Yeah, it's off. All right, good. That's right. Yeah, it could be the credit card company. You're right. You never know. They did track me down. Now, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Here's a great message. Now, if you're a believer here today, you've already had your sin debt paid. This ought to rejoice your heart, okay? 2 Corinthians 5:21. This is a great verse. Oh, what a wonderful verse. I'm going to wait till you find it. It's right after 1 Corinthians, all right? 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, okay? Here it is, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, now it's important to know who these people are. That's God the Father, hath made him, that's Jesus Christ, okay? To be, what's the next word? Sin for us. Wow. What a great truth. It said, who knew no sin? That's Jesus Christ. That we might be made the righteousness of God by doing in him. What a great verse. Turn over to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. I want you to see all these here. 1 Peter 2. Let's see. Yes, let's see. That'd be to your right. There you go. To the right. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read several verses here, starting in verse 21. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered, next two words, for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, this is Jesus Christ, lived a perfect life. Neither was guile found in his mouth. When he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to judgment righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, but by whose stripes you were healed. Wow, what a great verse. One more, okay? Back to the left now. Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53. Go to the Old Testament, find Psalms, and go to the right. Isaiah 53. What a wonderful passage. Let's try something. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. When I get to the word our, I want you to say it with me. Okay? Can you do that? Here we go. We'll start in verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Here's what happened, folks. Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, God himself, left heaven's glory, Christmas some 2,000 years ago, and came into this world, virgin born of the Virgin Mary. He lived 33 years, lived a perfect life. He never sinned. Never sinned. And one day they took the Lord Jesus Christ and they arrested him and they began to beat him. And they spit upon him. And they cursed him and they mocked him. And they put a crown of thorns upon his head. And they took him to an old rugged cross. And they killed him. They crucified the Lord. And as he was hanging on the cross, this is an amazing thing, folks. Jesus Christ took every sin, past, present, future, and took those sins upon himself. And it was so bad that God the Father poured his wrath out on his own Son, and Jesus Christ called out, "My God, my," this is the only passage he calls him God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" God had to turn his back on his very own Son, a person of the Trinity. Why? Because God is holy and perfect. And Jesus Christ had taken our sins. And he hung on that cross, folks. And when he hung there, he was paying for your sins and my sins. And toward the end of that crucifixion scene, there's a great saying. And it's where we get the word done from. Jesus Christ, as he was about to pass away, he's about to die, said, "It is finished." What was finished? The payment for sin. It was all done. The debt was paid. Hallelujah. Take a lap or two if you want to. That's the great truth, folks. Jesus Christ died to pay for your sin. In Revelation chapter 5, and I don't have time to turn there, there's an amazing passage. The title seal to earth is open, or is there, and has all these seven seals on it. And they're looking for someone who has the right to redeem or to pay for mankind's sin. And they're looking all over, and John said, there is nobody. And then one of the elders steps forward and says, ah, wait a minute. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ lived a perfect life, and he was worthy to pay for your sins. And Jesus Christ died. He paid the debt. Death, not for his sins, but for your sins. You say, well, Gary, that's wonderful, but that happened 2,000 years ago. I already gave to you one verse that says that the simple matter of fact is, folks, God is offering to you a gift of salvation. What a wonderful thing. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Now, this is really a preposterous story, but what would happen if Christmas is coming up, you've got small children or children 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, and you've been working hard, you've bought all the gifts, you've got them all wrapped, they're all under the tree. Christmas morning arrives at 5 o'clock, they're getting you out of bed, and you know what they want to do? They want to go clean the kitchen. And they want to go clean the house and do all this stuff because they say, you know, we don't deserve those gifts, and so we're going to work for them. Now, I know it's after you woke up and got off the floor after you fainted, you know, you would say, wait a minute. No, you don't have to work for these things. They are gifts. They are gifts. And the simple matter of fact is today, you, if you are not a child of God, if you've not had your debt paid, you can have it paid today. You say, how do you do it? You receive it by faith. You say, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that Jesus Christ died to pay for my sin. And by faith, I'm going to ask him to forgive me and to pay for my sin. And you know what? He'll do it. He'll do it. But you know what? You have to let go of all the things you think you can do to get to heaven and totally trust in Christ. I read a great illustration this week. Never seen it before. 7-story building. It's on fire. A man is hanging from a window on the 7th story. The building is on fire. It's going to burn. He will die. There are firemen underneath with one of those nets, you know, and they're saying, hey, just jump. Just trust us. Now, most of the people say, well, I want to hang on to this, and I want to jump. You can't do both, can you? And for that man to be saved in that fire, he's got to let go, and he's got to trust those firemen. And for you to get to heaven, you're going to have to let go of all the things you think you can do and all of your own goodness and simply trust what Christ did on the cross. Here's a great verse. Jesus Christ said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. If you come with a sincere faith, Jesus will pay for your sin. He will pay the debt. Now, let me close. There's a debt to be paid. It's undoubted. There's no doubt about it. Someone is going to have to pay that debt. Either you will, or you can accept the payment that Christ has already made. Let me ask you this morning. Have you accepted the payment that Christ made for your sins? If not, Jesus wants to save you today. And if by faith you will turn from sin and turn to Christ, place your faith in what he did on Calvary, he will save your soul. He will apply the payment to your sin debt, and you will be declared righteous. And when you stand before God, he will allow you to come into heaven because your sin has been paid for. I guess my question is, spiritually, are you debt-free? If not, the Word of God says today is a day of salvation. Today. I'm going to do something we don't normally do on Sunday school. I'm going to have you bow your heads for just a moment. I appreciate your attention this morning. It's been wonderful. You've listened so well. sense that God is working in hearts this morning. And I wonder if this morning there might be one that would say, Gary, boy, you're talking to me. I realize that I'm a sinner. I realize I have a sin debt to pay. And by faith this morning, I want to turn to Christ and allow him to save me and pay for my sin. I won't embarrass you. I won't call your name. I don't know many of your names. But if you're saying that in your heart, I would love to pray for you, love to know how to proceed. If you're saying that in your heart, would you just slip your hand up and hold it there just a minute, and I'll recognize it, and you can put it right back down. Anyone like that, very quickly, say, Gary, this morning, I have a sin debt, and I want Jesus to pay my sin debt. Is there one? Very quickly. Very quickly. Lord, we thank you for paying our sin debt. Oh, God, I pray that you would help us. If there are people here today who need to be saved, that they would trust you soon, today. And for us as believers, oh God, give us a greater appreciation for the debt that you paid for us. And Lord, help us to be willing to give our lives to you and make you Lord of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Two quick announcements before you go. There are cards here to take with you. Secondly, if you feel comfortable dealing with people in the altar this morning, when the invitation is given, pass.